given us a great and indescribable gift that for all eternity we're going to be praising Him. Go ahead and mess with me. I'll do that again. I'm just that kind of guy. We're going to have a morning today of praise. We've invited our friend and a born-again Christian, somebody who loves the Lord, and Michael O'Brien. That's who he is. He's a Christian first before everything else. And he just wants to praise God. And y'all, listen. We're not the audience. This isn't a concert. This is a time of praise. God's the audience. We're the choir. They're the leaders. God gets all the praise. Y'all get it? So give it to him. He's worthy of it. Would like to say thanks to all our guests. I don't know if y'all made it from California. We got some folks from California came out to the morning of praise. Amen? That's all right. They have family in town too, but we're gonna call it they want to come to church. But wherever you came from, we're so glad, and we want you to know the good news is Jesus Christ loves you, and that's why we sing. We don't sing because we have to. We sing because we get to. We sing because He's worthy. We're so glad to be here. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to turn it over to them, and you get your praise on. Y'all ready? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the great goodness in the gospel that saves. Father, so that sinners like me can have our eyes opened and our heads turned so that we can see how good you are. And when we see that, our response through your Spirit is to say, you are worthy of praise and worship. And we lift our hands and we lift our hearts and we lift our voice and we sing unto you who is forever worthy and holy and loving and kind and gracious. And we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like that.
Sing like that.
Never before, oh my soul. Thank you.
the Christ Community Church band. How's everybody? How many visitors do we have here? Just raise up your hand if you're visiting. All right, lots of y'all. Well, thanks for coming. This is one of my favorite places to come because, number one, they always feed me way too much. I have these little cookies they gave me. And I guess they call them the Holy Ghost cookies. I don't know about all that stuff. All I know is that I just took one, and I took a bite, and then I took two. And then I go in the back, and, you know, I'm just minding my own business, and I see these cups filled with donut holes. And, you know, it'd be rude for me not to have one of those. So I took a cup of that, too. I'm on a diet. Isn't that great? But, hey, Pastor John and Sarah and just so many wonderful people here that have just been very kind to me and let me come. I think this is like my third time here in the last year. It's an overdose. Yeah. So they were telling me, I was like, well, I've already sung here before, you know, what kind. So they gave me a list of songs they wanted me to do, you know, so, but I'll kind of mix it up and stuff. But anyway, I'm very happy to be here. And I thought I'd do a song that I used to sing with new songs, kind of an up song back. I used to sing a new song back in the day. Used to do the winter jams out in Tupelo. I think they've changed it now. So, but this is a tune that one of my favorite songs. So here we go.
I will wait.
I will wait.
I will.
teenagers in the front row. Everybody was standing up and they felt the pressure. Y'all don't want to stand up anymore. That's it. Y'all just chill right there. You're in the front row. You don't need to stand up. You can see everything. So now I'm making you more embarrassed and you're hating me more because I'm talking about you. I have teenagers, so I understand. Actually, I have 4 kids. And thank you very much, sir. Got 3 boys and a girl. And my oldest is 25. My youngest is 17. And my 17-year-old is driving me crazy right about now. And he's ready to go out on his own, and then he'll be back home in another year, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, hey, I thought I'd do some fun stuff too. I used to play in bars and stuff, and I know I've done this before here, but this is for those who are first timers. I got saved when I was 23, a late age, and I thought, man, I'll take some of the songs I played in the bars and I will remake them and do them like a Christian would do them, you know? And I know that it's probably not the right thing to do for the people who wrote the songs, but they never really show up for my concerts, right? So I don't care. Anyway, put this little medley together with some of those songs. Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song tonight. Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Do they have a Chick-fil-A here in Grenada? Easy now, y'all. Some bitterness and anger is not going to get you anywhere in life. Just keep praying. We'll get one here. I'll tell Bubba. I'll tell him that Grenada needs one. So I wanted to write a song, but you know, Tim Hawkins had this really cool song that he had written, and it's really funny and stuff, but he didn't write it from the cow's perspective. He only ran, you know, he wrote it from the human perspective. So I thought, would it be cool to write a song from the cow's perspective? And what are the cows thinking? And so this is what came out. Here we go. Florida for quite a long time, and then I moved to Lafayette, Louisiana when I was 12. Anybody heard of Lafayette? Some people. Cajun food, a lot of food there. And I lived there for about 10 years, got involved in music, and then I was in the drug scene. I was drinking a lot, doing drugs, didn't know the Lord. And so to get out of that scene, I moved back to Miami, Florida. And as you well know, that wasn't the greatest move in the world. So got involved once again in the bar business, and but then got radically saved, and was traveling around the country. Yeah, it was just a singing group. I traveled around this country telling people about Jesus, and if you can imagine, a year before I was, you know, serving people in bars. I was working at a place called Cafe Flamingo. I mean, anyway, and then going from that into this other world, and that's where I met my wife. And we've been married 28 years. That's what that means. So we ended up in California, of all places, and at this church, about a 100-member church, and one of the members of the church, no joke, wrote the song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Now, I know that may not seem like a big deal to y'all, but he's the guy who actually wrote it, like back in the 40s for the musical Meet Me in St. Louis. It's a pretty amazing song that most everybody that you've ever known in music has cut. Except maybe rappers and stuff. But anyway, maybe they have. All that to say, it was a great song. And when he first wrote it, it was a very sad song. It started off, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It may be your last. Now, that's not a great Christmas song right there. You need to change lyrics. They were very upset about it, so they changed it and became very happy. But long story short, Hugh went through a transformation in his life. His name was Hugh Martin, and we became friends over the years. And he rewrote the song and called it Have Yourself a Blessed Little Christmas. And it's all about Jesus, because he knew that I was working on a project that I wasn't going to do any Christmas songs that didn't mention Christ and talk about Christ. Even though I like Santa Claus, and I have nothing against Rudolph and all those guys, but, you know, when we're talking about Christmas, we need to be talking about Christ. Christ Mass, Christmas. So, anyway, all that to say, he sent me this lyric, and I think I may have been one of only two people that's ever cut this song, and so I thought I'd do it for you tonight, or today, or this morning. I don't know what time it is. It's somewhere in the near noon. Okay. So anyway, this is Have Yourself. I'll find it. My band. That's in my head. All right. Happy home.
Sermon, you can't say that, John, can you? You just kind of have to keep on going, plowing through. This is a song they asked me to do that I haven't done in years, and I thought I'd do it. I don't know if you've ever had somebody that you love that was a Christian, that loved Christ, pass away. I think it's interesting that these days all you have to do is die and you're in heaven. It doesn't matter who you are. A Satanist, and you're going to be in a better place. The Bible says that many choose the road that leads to destruction. Very few find the road that leads to eternal life. If you call on Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says that you're a child of God. If you reject that theology, if you will, the Bible says that you're a child of the devil. And a lot of people don't like to hear that because it makes them feel uncomfortable, and it's kind of supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. Because there is a place called hell. It's not some made-up place that we have just made up on our own. Jesus talked about hell a lot. And so the reason I'm sharing this story is because I had a friend just recently who was a believer in Christ, and he had 11 kids, and 7 of them were adopted. And of the 7, 3 of them were special needs kids. And Mike Kelly was his name. He was one of my best friends. And we prayed for him because he got sick, and then the Lord took him home, and that was a really difficult thing for us to go through, and I can't even imagine what his wife went through and their kids, but bottom line is, we know that he's in a better place. It doesn't take away the grief, and that we miss him, but we have confidence and know that we will see him again. And there are people in your life just like that, but there are people maybe in your life, like my dad, who was a practicing atheist and was an atheist his entire life, and now I mean, I'm not pretending like I know God like personally, and though I do through Christ, but the Bible says, I think my dad was one of the people that chose the road that led to destruction, and that he separated from God. It doesn't bring me a lot of joy to say that, but I pray that you're not one of the people like my dad that would harden his heart to the gospel of Christ. But so this song really is really more of a comfort for those of us that we know with loved ones who've moved on to a better place.
Long ago, far away,
someone will pray, Lord, you are the truth, the way. In our streets of gold, the celebrate, somewhere beyond.
That's the best place to be, by the way. If you don't have brothers and sisters or moms and dads who are in the Lord, but you're in the family, then you have a family. And it's called the family of God. It's much more powerful than the blood of family. My parents used to talk about the blood. Hey, she's blood, or he's not blood, so there's something. No. The blood of Christ brings us all together. And that means black, white, red, yellow, all these different people in the world, for those who surrender their hearts to Christ, they are a part of the family of God. And it's a beautiful family to be a part of, because you don't want to be on the other side. And the other side is not a great place. And if you're a teenager here, and I'm not just talking about you guys right here, but I'm just talking about if you're a teenager here, I've lived with teenagers a long time. And there's a problem within our culture, especially today, because teenagers are looking at parents and they're looking at their family, and they're not seeing a lot of Christ being number one in their parents' lives. They don't see their parents reading the Bible. They don't see their parents praying for the kids. They don't see a lot of that. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen in this church. I'm just saying they're looking for examples and they're not seeing it. And so they're going off. High numbers, once they graduate from high school, they're gone. They don't go back to the church. Why? Because they don't know who Jesus is. They think he's just a name. They think a cross is just a symbol. And they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to me, that's a huge responsibility as a believer who's a father of four kids to be walking the walk and to be able to say, no, he's real. I was on drugs. I lived a life of shame. And I thought I was going to die. But God, my two favorite words, but God, came into my life, sent his son, Jesus Christ. And I got radically saved. I went from cussing, using all the words everybody uses who doesn't know the Lord, and maybe some of you believers who still use some of those words, I have no idea. But I went from that world to I just stopped cussing. I stopped drinking, I stopped cussing. It happened overnight for me. And it was a radical transformation. And you can't tell me right now that there's no Jesus. I know there's a Jesus. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is interceding for those who are his own. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't know him, it's not too late. He can come to your rescue right now. This has nothing to do with your parents. This has, look, if people looked at other people, If Christians were following other Christians, we'd be in big trouble. We don't follow other Christians. We follow Christ. He was the perfect one. That doesn't mean we can't be an example. That doesn't put us off the hook, by the way. But I'm here to tell you, we should live our lives in such a way that we bring glory to God in all that we say and all that we do. And we should pray for our kids on a daily basis, that the eyes would be opened up to the truth. And this is a song I sing with New Song, and I didn't write this song. As a matter of fact, I rarely sing other songs that I haven't written. I'm just one of those singer-songwriter types. But when I heard this song, I kind of made it my own. And it said, this is my song. No, nothing against Jared Anderson. He's the one who actually penned this song. But I sing this over to you, and I pray it'll wash over you in a fresh new way. Because you are the source of life. I can't be left behind. No one else will do. Teaches. If you don't believe that one true thing right there, then you need to examine your heart to see if you're in the Lord. Because only Jesus can save. That deserves an amen. Amen. He deserves it. And I'm here to tell you, it's not the popular thing of the day. The popular thing is, hey, pick and choose what you want to believe in the Bible. And by the way, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not. The Bible says that Jesus, we need to be more like Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. If you do not accept those words, you are not in the Lord, and you are lost. And I'm here to tell you, there's only one person and only one thing that can convict your heart, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts. You turn from the life that you're living, you admit that you need a Savior, and you say, Jesus, would you be Lord of my life? Come into my heart. And he does. That's the miracle of it all. And so many, in this kind of a room where there's 150, 200 people, do you realize that, I mean, statistically, 50% of people in this room right now reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior, even though they say they're a Christian? They don't know what they believe because they don't even pick up their Bible to read it. And then how are we supposed to instruct each other if we don't hold each other to what Jesus talked about in the Word? And that's my passion, you guys. If you haven't noticed, I'm very passionate about the Word of God because I know it's what separates us from the world. It's what separates us from other religions. And there are many out there. There are actually many forms of Christianity out there as well. Man, I've run into a lot of them. People who don't like the Word where it says that Jesus did not come to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword, to turn a mother against a daughter, to turn a father against a son. There's that blood thing I'm talking about. You see, the blood of Christ washes all that, and then you become a part of the family of God. So they pick and choose what they want out of the Bible, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So pick up your Word. Read the Word. I'm only quoting things that the Word teaches. And don't get mad at me. People are looking at me. Some people are looking at me like, I don't know if I believe. Well, it's not. These aren't my words. These are the words of the Lord. And he's left it for each one of us. How many people in this room have a Bible in their house? Lift it up. Yeah, everybody in this. And I've got 5 Bibles, all right? So we have more than just one. I have a teenager who says, well, I don't have a Bible. He's got 3 Bibles. He's got 3. First one when he was born, the second one later on in life when he got baptized, and then we gave him a teenage Bible. So, hey, pick up your Word. Take time. It makes a difference. Then we can lovingly direct people into the truth. We live in a time, you guys, it's serious. It's a very serious problem. And I'm not going to get into this whole thing, but even the homosexual movement has moved its way into the church. It's in the church. And if you don't accept them, there's a lot of pushback. And I'm here to tell you that we stand. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Though none go with me, I still will fight. And I will not tell. You know, if they're Christians, they call themselves Christians, then they need to bow to what the Word teaches. Bottom line, marriage is between a man and a woman. Period. There's no way to get around that, man. So I think just because I just said that, I should do a love song. That's what I'm going to do. I told Pastor, I said, I have no idea what I'm doing today. But just to honor, because let me tell you something. My wife and I almost divorced in 2001. And it was a very serious, horrible problem. I had a lot of hidden sin. I'm a Christian. I'm out in the world. I'm telling you, I'm going out in the winter jams. If you've been to a winter jam, for many years, 7 years, I was the front man. And I would go out there and I would share my testimony about how God delivered me from drugs and alcohol, all these different things that God did in my life. Guess what? Back home, my wife was falling apart. She was trying to raise 4 kids on her own. I was gone 250 days out of a year. It was not conducive to a spiritually healthy family, and I was not being the spiritual leader of my family. I wasn't doing it, and God had to get a hold of me. So my marriage almost fell apart, and my 2 favorite words, but God, and he convicted me of my sin. And by grace and grace alone, I'm here to tell you, God saved my marriage. Now it took 2 of us. We had to work on it. But he saved my marriage. And I'm thankful for it. And so in 2004, I began to write a love song to Heidi. And I'd written some love songs to her before. But she didn't like any of them. I mean, she told me. I mean, she's very honest. She's like, I don't like that song. I'm like, all right. So she was listening to Rod Stewart. Sing all these old songs. I mean, I can't even hardly say Rod Stewart's name and not just... Yeah, anyway. And basically, I thought, man, I can write a song like that. I'm a songwriter. I'm just going to write a song back in the old days. Sounds like an old song. So I began to write this song called One and Only, basically telling my wife, even though it doesn't mention Jesus, I was telling my wife, babe, there's a lot of things wanting my attention. We're guys. We're all visual. Everybody in this room who's a guy, raise your hand. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you know who you are. We're visual. And so I was saying, Dave, my eyes are only for you. And that takes a lot of work, by the way. It takes a lot of work to be watching football, which I love, even though, you know, yeah, okay, I do love football, but they're trying me right now. But all that to say, I love college football. You can't go wrong with that. But anyway, and then all of a sudden these little, these teenage girls pop up, or these little cheerleaders, and now guess what? I'm affronted. What am I going to do with that? Am I going to indulge? Am I going to look at that? Or am I going to go, uh-uh, I'm going to bounce my eyes, I'm going to look a different direction, or I'm going to close my eyes and bow my head until I think it's gone, or look at my wife and make sure she's like, okay, it's okay. Well, you know what? I did that for years. For 13 years, I would do that. And now my sons, every one of them, every time that happens, I never say a word. I just look away, and they look at me, and we just look at each other, and then we look around. It's awesome. You know, just because I was like, no more. So you take a stand, a practical stand. Anyway, so I wrote this song to tell her that she's my one and only. So here it is. I've been dreaming about your face. Get lost and obsessed in your embrace. Just one more kiss from me. Be a tragedy if you stop it. Wouldn't be fair. I'm crying out for one more touch. But I can. It won't be enough. Don't want to assume about it, cause I'm fanatical when it comes to you. Baby, it's true. Focus on the family, this date night for couples, and we were in a lodge, no joke, true story, and they had a bunch of animal heads in the lodge, and so all these couples are down here, and the animal heads are up there, and when I sing that love song, typically I look up or close my eyes, because I don't want to look at anybody. Singing about my one and only, it doesn't make any sense. So I open my eyes and I look up, so I'm here, and a moose head is right here. And right during the middle of the song, the moose head turned its head and opened its eyes and started doing all this crazy stuff with its eyelids and stuff. And nobody could see it because it was all above their heads.
So now I'm just like singing one and only with this moose head, trying to figure out what's going on. And come to find out there's some dude in the back that's trying to make me laugh by the mechanical thing. That ain't right, right? It was a serious song at the time. Somebody's got a really funny laugh over here to the left. It's like a little, like a high thing. I love it. Hey, don't ever change. Don't change that. Because that just makes me laugh. I'm laughing with you, not at you. So I thought I'd do this. Somebody asked me to do this song as well. I'm not going to be much longer, by the way, for all you know, people who are like, when's this going to be over? Hopefully, if anything, you've gotten some truth this morning that you can take with you. And if you ever take anything with you, you may not like my music, you may not like me personally, but I pray as you walk out the door that you will be in love with Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Because this is a great thing. It really is a great thing. And he can be real for you. He can be real. And he is real. So this is a song that Prayer of Christ. That's what he taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Go, hey, come on over, and yeah, just take the whole service. I mean, I know probably 1 out of 10 that would do that. So you got a special guy here, and
we're glad that Michael led us today. But I wonder, just to bring this up, and I'm not preaching. I'm like, you thought that was just the start. I'm preaching. No, I'm not preaching. But you know, when Michael comes and we have a good time and we're praising God, but you know, I hope you appreciated too. I hope you appreciated his sermon. You know, just to hear this about making God number one, about being saved, being born again, about getting into the Word, about submitting ourselves to the Word, not trying to make the Word make sense to us, but making ourselves say, how do I get under the Word? We're not the editor of God's Word.
That's right.
It's the Word of God. It's going to be here a lot longer than we are. We bring ourselves into conformity to the Word, not vice versa. And I heard that message, and it was so good. It was just so good. Brother, we love you. And we're going to take up an offering. I'm just looking at you, so like you, we didn't know what we were doing. We're like, so we are tired. Are you going to? Okay, he's going to do a song when we do that. But ordinarily I pray for the offering. But I thought, in light of that last song, that we might pray together for the offering, and that we might say the Lord's Prayer together as a church body, as a community of Christians, that we might just say that prayer that most everybody knows in their mind. Why don't we say that right now? And as we do, I'm going to ask the ushers if they'd come forward for the morning offering. But let's just say that prayer together. Are y'all ready? We're not going to sing it. We're not going to try to do like Michael. We're just going to say, if you know the Lord's Prayer, you say it now. Let's pray. Remember who we're glorifying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
When she was 17 years old, she sang that song with me. That was recorded back in 2010, and or 9, somewhere in there. She was lost. She didn't know Jesus. She got out of high school. She went into a worldly college and got into some horrible things. I can't go into all the details. She came back, never came back home. She would come back every once in a while, and we would enable her. But then she would go. She ended up in a place that no father would ever imagine a daughter would end up in. She met a guy, a really bad guy, and her life, she, talk about just really bad choices, almost lost her life on several different occasions, and ended up going to New York for 2 weeks. I gave her money, and I said, Megan, I said, if you don't change, I may never see you again. Gave her the money, she left. And I told her, I said, if you're not willing to change, don't come back. This is after years and years of enabling. Some people may think that's really harsh. And it was a desperate move. 2 weeks later, she called me on the phone. She says, Dad, I'm ready. She came back home. I got her in Liberty University one semester. I said, I'll give you one semester. She made straight A's. She still was hiding things from me. I didn't know it for 3.5 more years. She held it and she held it. Didn't tell me she was still in touch with the bad guy. So bottom line is, I'm oblivious. I get a call last year it was back in October, right around now, from my son telling me that the guy is still in her life and he's threatening to kill now her new boyfriend, who is a believer in Christ, was just coming in to her life. She was trying to get rid of the guy and he didn't want to let him get rid of. I'm giving you a lot of information. Bottom line is, my daughter, by way of the Holy Spirit, was convicted. It wasn't me. It wasn't my wife. You know, just jumping on her and telling her all this stuff. The Holy Spirit convicted her, and she was wanting to change. And she made a huge change, met this new kid, and now they're married. They got married in March or April. She got baptized 2 months ago, identifies herself with Jesus Christ. I'm only telling you this. I'm only telling you, and I praise God for it. But I'm telling you, most of the time, most of the things I'm hearing right now, it's not that side of the story. It's people who are so lost that are making horrible decisions, and a lot of them lose their lives. They think that they're indestructible, and they're not. We're all flesh and blood. We make stupid choices. We all sin. Every day, I sin, you sin. But if we repent, God, the word repent, to turn, if we repent and ask God to forgive us, he will forgive us to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, that we have that, that we can say, God, forgive me, and he will. Otherwise, you're in it. You have your own. It's yours. You'll carry it yourself. You can't give it to Christ unless you make him Lord of your life. And that's a big thing. So if you're young here, or even if you're older, and you're living that life and making bad choices and think you're indestructible, I'm here to tell you, Jesus right now is calling you home. He's calling you, saying, you didn't come here by accident. He's calling you home. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do? My heart and my prayer is that you will repent and ask God to forgive you, and that you will be in Christ. And it's nothing magical. A lot of times we have people come forward. We have them say a prayer. Listen to me. You'll know that your life has changed because God is that real. He'll reveal himself to you through Scripture, through other people. But if you wake up every morning and you're thinking about you and only you, and I know a lot of people in my life that are like that. They're just concerned about themselves. What am I going to do? I got to do this. They're concerned about all these things. But if you wake up and you go, Lord, how can I please you today? How can I glorify you? Give me an opportunity to share truth or just to love on somebody. If that's your attitude throughout your days, I would say you're probably in the Lord. All right? And that you just need we just need instruction. That's why we come to church. So I forgot what I was going to do last. Oh, yeah. This is a song I learned back when I was not saved. I was 17 years old. I'll never forget it. I heard this song. I was like, I can't believe this song. I didn't understand it. I didn't make the Lord of my life until 6 years later. But I heard the truth in this song. And it really ministered to my heart. And I thought I'd sing it to you. It's an old Imperial song that I learned a long, long time ago.
When you're up against a struggle, shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Sing, praise the Lord. He can work. Chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Now Satan is alive, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. I say praise the Lord. He can work for those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, yeah. For our God in heaven's praise. Praise the Lord.
Hey, I'm gonna ask if Sarah would come up here, just come up, and we are wrapping up. I do want to remind you, Christ Community Church, we're starting our small group training next Sunday evening at 5:30. Okay, so come to the training, come do that. But I want Sarah to come up here, because the relationship that God has built between Christ Community and Michael O'Brien and his ministry has happened through our women's ministry. And our women's ministry has really, through going to eWomen and God using Michael to minister to them there, has translated that to Michael coming and ministering to us here and us being able to establish that friendship. So I just wanted to bring her up here just by way of recognition, because I'm grateful. I'm grateful for our church mamas. I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for the body of Christ and how He's raised up ladies to work here and to minister here. And if you're a part of that, if you're a part of that women's ministry, if you went to eWomen, even if you weren't, you know, even if you're Angela and you didn't, you know, I saw your pictures, you know, you don't have a shirt on, but stand up and let us give you a hand. Just stand up, ladies. It's awesome. Hey, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for what you do in bringing these things to our attention. We do love you. Michael said, if God gets a hold of you, you know it. We trust God. We don't have to have to come up here and make an emotional response. We trust that if God starts something in you, he's going to finish it because he's God and he knows it. So if God does something in you, give him the glory. If you're not from here, if you got to go to another church, tell your pastor, God did something in my life. He started something and it's just awesome. Okay? And we love y'all. For our guests and our friends, thank you so much for coming. What a wonderful time. And let me just, I'm going to end this service the way I always end my services by saying, I love you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. And let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity just to praise you because you're God and you alone are God. And Father, we do love you because you loved us. And so we give you all the praise. And Lord, be with us as we go. Continue your work in us. You want all men everywhere. You desire all men to be saved. And your will for us is our sanctification, our growth. So, Father, whether we need to be saved or if we're saved and we need to grow, do your work. We give you the credit. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready.